Hello, welcome and kumusta. Thank you for joining me. This is Hal, your occupational therapist, and welcome to OT Conversations. In this episode, I'd like us to have a discussion about some elements of clinical documentation. So why do we document things? There are actually four purposes of clinical documentation. The first reason why you would document is you'd want to provide a chronological record of your patient's conditions. And this chronological record should detail the complete course of the therapeutic intervention. So if you have notes, which can be digital or paper-based, there has to be a chronological way on how you can record your input. The second reason why you would have a clinical documentation is to facilitate the communication among professionals who contribute to the patient's care or to the customer's care or to the consumer's care. People will be working with patients, and there are multiple clinicians that are working with patients, and it takes so much time to talk about the patients if you have to start finding each other, if you have to do face-to-face conversation. It'll take a long time. So the notes is actually a communication method. Just remember this, guys, yeah? The other reason and the other purpose of documentation is so that we can provide an objective basis to determine the appropriateness and the effectiveness and the necessity of the therapeutic intervention. What do we mean by this? When you are treating a patient, there should be a reason. It should justify why you are seeing a patient, why you're doing what you're doing. And it should reflect, and it should be transparent, and it should be an objective way of presenting it, rather than just having statements about stuff. For example, toilet hygiene. What about it? There should be an objective way, whether you've assessed it, whether you have treated it. So that's one purpose. And the other reason why you document is that it should reflect the practitioner's reasoning. Whatever you do, the documentation should be able to capture these things. Now, in the United Kingdom, we are used to documentation. It started on the paper. From my practice, I don't know if we're being trained to define the type of documentation. For us, it's notes. That's about it. People would know notes as OT notes, but there are actually five types of documentation. And these are all very specific, and it has and it deserves their own individual merits. There are five types of intervention. The first is evaluation report or assessment report. That's the documentation. The second type of documentation is a contact, treatment, or visit notes. The third type of report is a progress report. The fourth one being the re-evaluation report. And the last one would be the discharge or a discontinuation report. So there are five. Remember this, guys. Evaluation report or initial assessment report. Every time you see a person afterwards, then you have your contact or visit report. Or OT notes. But those OT notes, every time we see them and we write down, these are typically contact notes. Progress report, if it happens once a week that we are seeing if a person is under our care for weeks on end, if they're on the rehabilitation, then it should, progress report is what you would call that. And then to monitor progress, you have re-evaluation report, and then you have a discontinuation report. Now, the evaluation report, there are three types of evaluation. making all of these notes, technically six, right? So evaluation report, the first one, you have identification and background information. That's the section of an evaluation report. The second one would be assessment results. And then the third one would be intervention and treatment plan. So whenever you're doing an initial contact, and we're talking about evaluation report now, these are the parts that should be there. There should be the identification, the background information, assessment result, and there should be intervention or treatment plan. Now, in the identification and background information, what should be there? There should be the name, the age, the sex, the date of admission of the patient, treatment diagnosis, and the date and onset of the current diagnosis. There should be the referral source. Where did we get the referral from? And what would be the service that's being requested? And the date of referral to occupational therapy. It should reflect the medical history and the secondary problems or some of the pre-existing conditions prior to therapy. It should indicate the precautions as well and the contraindications for therapy. And then it should reflect the pertinent history that indicates a patient's prior level of ability or function and whatever support systems they have. It should present the levels of function in performance areas as determined by their examination. And then there should be performance context as determined by the examination. And then if there is a statement in there, then you should get the consumer or the family's expectations. So these are all, these ones should be in the background information. The thing is, if you're working in a hospital and you have digital notes, then the name, the address, that's stated in the entire medical notes or the clinical chart of the patient. So you don't have to worry about that. History of present illness, it'll be there in a medical chart somewhere, okay? But when it comes to occupational therapy, what is essential when you are doing that identification and background information, you should have the person's name, their social context, their home environment situation, their routines, their roles, their previous abilities, that should reflect on that one, okay? So that would be their identification and background information. That's the first part of our evaluation report or the initial assessment. The second part of the assessment would be the assessment results should be there. And when you're doing this, then you can either have the tests and the assessment tools that you have used. If you are doing ADL assessment, then you need to reflect on the ADL measure. You need to write that thing down because that's the one that you're using. That is an assessment tool or an evaluation tool. If you are using other assessment tools, if you are particular to measuring performance components, then that should be there too. For example, if strength is there, then you have the T, the manual muscle testing score. If you're using the or measuring the tone, then you need to have those Ashworth scale, the goniometric measurement, if you have that, if you're using the range of motion, the grip strength, which would be the dynamometer. So you use the assessment tool. The other thing is, if there are other references, you can write down if there are any other references to other reports and some information. So you have to quote in, say somebody did a cognitive assessment, say a neuropsychiatrist has performed a battery of cognitive assessments. Then you can write down cognition, moderate impairment, mild impairment. Please refer to the psychiatrist's notes for cognitive impairment. The next thing is, you need to write down as well the analysis of the evaluation findings. And in here, a therapist should state the type and the severity of the impairment that is identified and what are the functional limitations that are caused by these impairments, particularly the functional limitations. And you need to write this down in an objective way. So So functional limitation is just a matter of independence. So you can describe a person's independence by stating whether they're independent, not independent, assistance of one, not assistance of one. Okay. And then you can write down their projected functional outcome as well. So you can anticipate this. This would be the assessment results as well. That's the second part of the evaluation report. The last part of the evaluation report is, yes, you have seen it. You've got the background. You have seen their performance. The next thing would be their treatment or intervention plan. And in the intervention plan, you can write down what the goals are. Whether it's a long-term functional goals, you can write down the short-term functional goals, and you can write down the intervention and the treatment procedure that you are planning to do as an occupational therapist. You can write down the type, the frequency, the amount of therapy sessions, the duration of intervention and treatment. So you can prescribe whether you're going to see the patient 3 times a week for 30 minutes per session. That is there. And then some of the recommendations as well. Okay. It's a bit complicated when it comes to the evaluation report. That is a very good standard. Unfortunately, and fortunately, this standard is not enforced in the United Kingdom. For those of you who think it's tedious, then you'll be glad that this is not enforced in the United Kingdom. Yeah, but that would be celebrating on, what's the word? Mediocrity. In other countries, this is enforced. And if we want to practice and to be, if we're going to be sticking to being professionals and we want to promote the profession, then this is something that we need to explore doing, because this is a gold standard in the absence of any standards. So in the United Kingdom, these are not enforced. So for those that think it's tedious, yes, that's good. Yay. But for those that are looking to perform and promote occupational therapy and put occupational therapy up in a pedestal, then whoa, that would be something that we need to aspire to doing. Okay, that's evaluation report. The next thing, like I said, is the next type of report is the contact or the treatment or the visit note. And every time you have a contact or visit note, is you would indicate the attendance, who attended, what activities were provided, what techniques you've provided, the modalities that you've used. You can write down the assistive devices that you've used, if there are any prosthetics or orthotics that you have issued as occupational therapist, or any splints that you have fabricated, and the specific instructions for the application of the item. And then you can write down the patient's response to therapy as well. So that is a contact, treatment, or visit note. Okay? This is something that we are using in the United Kingdom. We only refer to it as OT notes. The thing is, with OT notes, we're focusing more on the format, and the format, like most people, what most people have been using is the format of SOAP. And again, there is a lot of followers for the SOAP format, and I'm not an advocate of that. I've read it. I know where it came from. But then if you observe, and I ask you again, guys, for those of you who are listening, have you ever read the book about SOAP? Do you know where it started from? Yeah. Most of the time, people learn to do SOAP because it is taught to them during their placement. It is a handed down instruction from one place to another without understanding the actual source of what it is, where it is. But I would say, and I would suggest that if you are going to write down on your OT notes that those things that I mentioned earlier on, they should be there. It should indicate the activities, the sessions, the type of intervention that you have provided. You should indicate the patient's response to it. Okay? Because that's the one that you want to monitor. That those are the things that are important. If you remember the objectives, those are the ones that will provide the chronological record of the patient's responses. The contact note will facilitate communication among professionals. It's not the SOAP, it's not just the format, but it is the content that is what is important. Okay. Contact report, yes, we're using that. The next thing is the progress report. Okay. Let me just go back. The contact, the treatment, or the visit note, these are used to document the individual occupational therapy sessions or the coordination of care. And this can be a short session, okay? And there are some contact notes which are just checklists, which are actually good. Now, I haven't used a checklist type of documentation in the United Kingdom. I have done so in Republic of Ireland, okay? Or it can just be a flowchart, or it can be a short narrative or short notation. Okay. Very easy, short contact note. Okay. The third type of note is a progress report. And this progress report is something that is more applicable if you have a clinic or if you are seeing a patient in a long-term basis, where you hold the case for months and years on end. Say you're in pediatric practice, you have your own clinic as an occupational therapist, then yes, you can have progress report. Sometimes a progress report may not be suitable for those people who are working in the hospital because it is a short admission. The encounter is very short. Okay. What happens on the re-evaluation report, or rather the progress report? In the progress report, you can write down an overall summary of the activities and the techniques and the modalities that the patient received. You can have a perspective of the patient's response to therapy altogether. Okay, it's a progress report, and you can write down whether the goal is still continuing or you need to write down the continuance of the goal. Okay. You can indicate whether the patient or the explanation for no or slow progress should be there. Is the patient progressing? Yes or no? And you have to write down the reason why you think the patient is progressing. The next thing that you need to do is you can write down any modification of the goal. For example, in a progress report, you can write down initially the goal would be to be independent with dressing. And then now you can actually change that it's that the person cannot be independent. Therefore, the patient should be able to manage to get out or to be able to dress with slight difficulty, if that's what you want, or with minimum assistance, that's okay. If you cannot achieve full independence, you can change those goals to something that is realistic. Okay. And then you can write down some of the assistive devices again that you have used with patients, or whether or not they're going to be reliant on it. You can write down some of the communication between patients and the family, some of the case conferences, discussions. If there are any home programs, you can write these down. And then some instruction for the carers as well. And you can write down the next plan. Again, progress report. It just meant that the case is not closed yet, but it's just like a sporadic summary of what's been happening. This progress report tends to be a little bit longer. All right. Now, the fourth type of report is an re-evaluation report. And a re-evaluation report is used to document sessions in which the portions of the evaluation process are repeated or re-administered. Okay. And it's usually these re-evaluation report happens either quarterly or every six months or annually. And when you're doing re-evaluation report, it just meant that you're going to have to use the same standardized tool that you have used at the initial assessment. The reason why you want to do this is so that you can track the patient's progress. Now, do we use re-evaluation report in the acute setting? Not often, okay? In the community, I don't know. In other fields, I don't know, because mental health is not my practice. Pediatrics is not my practice. Although I know of some guests in this podcast, like Maria, for example, she does see patients over a period of time. And I do know that she has these re-evaluation reports as well. Okay. And then the last would have been the discharge or the discontinuation report. It should be a standard. When you discharge a patient, you should make a summary of the progress. And we need to have that discharge summary. And it's not a common practice for OTs in the United Kingdom. It's sometimes being avoided by some clinicians, which is, again, it's a matter of debate. This practice needs to improve. And again, this is my personal stance on this matter, okay? So what's happening on the discontinuation report? What should be part of the discontinuation or the discharge summary? It should have the therapy process, okay, where there should be a summary of the interventions that were used, the consumer's response, and the number of sessions that they have received. The next thing is that there should be a goal attainment, whether the patient achieved or not achieved the goal. There should be a functional outcome as well, comparison of their functional abilities compared to their baseline. So there should be a functional status comparison prior to therapy and after the therapy. And then there should be some home program recommendation if it is recommended so. Or any follow-up plans, it should be there. Any further recommendations. So you have to state any recommendations that are pertaining to the consumer's future needs. Okay. And then the last one is if there are any other referrals that you need to do, then this should be there as well. What is the implication of this at the moment to have a discharge summary? The implication to practice is that if you are running a service and you want to see the effectiveness of your intervention or of your service, you can easily go back to individual cases and have an analysis of those discharge summaries. Because if you're measuring progress, if you're measuring the type of intervention that you provide, if you're measuring the narrative evidences that your patients have said, then these are the ones that you can use to actually justify, promote the profession of occupational therapy. That is the implication. And that is, in some ways, advocacy. And it's best practice. Is it difficult? Yes. Is it tedious? Yes. But it is what you do. You can't cut corners for easy. We can't cut corners for easy, guys. We need to be able to stick to what is right, what is just, what is a gold standard in terms of practice. At the end of the day, we are all professionals and we should work as so. Hold a good standard. All right, guys, that I hope has left you with some food for thoughts. If you like this topic, Have a conversation amongst yourselves. Check your practice. Review your practice. Check whether you're doing the right thing. Learn together and grow together. Remember, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, guys. Bye.